The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, to be rebroadcast August 23rd, 2023 on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. There's that hand. Okay. So if you're watching us on Facebook Live, feel free to comment. We're doing something a little different here today. We have a guest in our studio, Mr. Billy Dujack, who's sitting right next to me here, and we're gonna get into that a little bit later. But we're also trying to open up to guests because we have not done this since COVID. So we're going to try something a little different and see how this works out. Feel free to comment if you'd like. That'd be great. So this is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can leave a comment right down here below on Facebook Live, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, and Spotify. And also, I just started a couple of weeks ago a YouTube channel, so you can actually watch the video on a YouTube channel too. Working on that, technologically challenged, so we'll see what happens, and hopefully I'll be able to stay on top of that over the weeks to come. Okay, here we go. We got to start it out with Ron's rant of the week. It's, you know, as long as people continue to drive vehicles, there will be stupid people in the world. Right-hand turn on red, you say? You know about the right-hand turn on red. How about the right-hand turn onto a cyclist? I think that's the same law. I think that's the way that works. I was out yesterday picking up all of the signs for the Steeplechase Walk, because we just had the Steeplechase Bike Tour this past weekend. And so I put signs out on all the street corners. And the easiest way to pick them back up is to take my little e-bike into town. And I pull my little trailer behind me, and I pull the signs up and put them in the back of the trailer and then ride back home. So I am doing that, and of course I'm at a relatively busy intersection where I'm removing some signs, and there's a gas station on the right hand side, and a woman passes me at the gas station and then immediately turns in front of me to make the right hand turn into the gas station. I was pretty alert, and you know, you almost get a sixth sense about mm-hmm. this, don't you? Yeah, yeah. I mean, you really do. You're out there riding your bike, and it's like anything can happen. You got to always be prepared for it. So I hit the brakes real quick, and I came around the other side of her on her driver's side, and her window was wide open, and I said, "Watch the bike!" And of course, that alerted her. I probably scared her. I hope so. And then I make the right-hand turn, and what was she doing to go to the gas station? Was she going to get a Coke? Was she going to fill up her tank? Was she going there for some sort of convenience store item of some sort? No, she was going through the gas station to pull out on the other side and cut the corner at the traffic light. Nice, huh?
Very nice.
So, a highly irresponsible driver, and yep, you got ranted on, lady, because I saw you do it, and you did it to me, and that's really not a good idea, because Ron doesn't like that. So, anyway, moving on with this and more in the show, and I will get into this a little bit more in the show. Positive side, the Steeplechase Bike Tour is over. I know that's not really positive, but it is positive, because we had a gorgeous day. Oh, my God, what about that weather? Oh, my God,
you couldn't beat it. You could not beat it.
It was perfect. Perfect, perfect. And another positive side, quick reminder, back to school. And here in Mansfield, we have a number of college students returning from all over the world. I mention that because if you are a foreign student and listening to this, all traffic laws apply to cyclists as well as motorized vehicles. Probably the people from the other side of the planet know a lot more about riding in traffic than the people that live here, but I just thought I'd put that out there. And I have to say that this is a very special day. I have an in-studio guest here, Mr. Billy Dujack, my good friend and fellow heart-to-heart guy. We're going to do a special show here today. Anyway, it's our first attempt to see if we can do this and pull this off. So this is what we're doing here today. It's good. If you're listening to this on audio, it doesn't really matter. But anyway, here we are. And also, last but not least, guess what's happening this Saturday, the 26th of August?
What, Ron?
Any idea?
No, it's, I haven't a clue.
It's the 20th, running from the 26th of August to the 17th of September, it's La Vuelta. Yes, La Vuelta España. So it's the beginning of the Vuelta, which is 21 stages. We'll cover total distance of 3,153 kilometers. Yeah. The Vuelta is coming. Yay, yay, yay. Okay. Mechanical Minute Cycling Tips. Remember last week I told you about the Carbon Creek, you know, because I always talk about the Carbon Creek. I hate the Carbon Creek. It drives me nuts, so I got to figure out a way to get rid of the Carbon Creek. And I find out that I just have a badly worn out insert in the bottom bracket of my carbon bike that I just can't. Once they go, they go. And they're kind of a great idea when they work, but they kind of don't work. So I talked about putting in a different insert here. So I'm going to hold this up to the camera because this is kind of cool. This little guy right here, this is so cool. It is a an aluminum shell that you press fit into your bottom bracket on the static side, or otherwise known as a crankset side, the chainring side. You press it in, and then you screw this other piece in to it. You put a bunch of grease on here, and it's got a little rubber seal here. It's just way cool. Sealed bearings, very nice. This should eliminate the creak. I'm really excited by this thing. I think it's going to be really cool. And of course, when you want to press something like that in, you use a press tool like this right here. And I had someone a couple of years ago said, you need to bring tools to your show so you can show people the tools when you're doing it. So I brought a tool.
Doesn't translate well into radio, though. That's the
It doesn't translate well into radio, but there is this big threaded piece that has a big... I don't know. You can crank it down. It makes a nice even press to push bearings into a tight surface, which is what you need to do when you're working on things like this. So anyway, I'm real excited about that. And next week I will show you and I will tell you how this all worked. But it should work just fine.
Do you have water?
That's mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want water?
Don't you touch that. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, this is my my Steeplechase Bike Tour water bottle. For those of you in audio, I am holding up a water bottle to the camera. Doesn't help you at all, but I can tell you it's a nice bottle, very nice, made by the number one bicycle water bottle company, as far as I'm concerned. Specialized makes great bottles. They really do make great bottles.
Nobody can really, there we go.
There you go. And now Fran is showing a shirt in front of the camera. So if you're listening to this on audio file and you do ever want to see it, remember, I have now a YouTube channel, which I will transfer this very slowly and painfully over to at the end of this broadcast, because that's the way it works. So anyway, that's it. Content. Okay, I'm going to go back to the rant here real quick, and then we're going to get on to Billy, because that's what we're doing here today. So the rant. If a cyclist is getting turned into by the right because they came up on the inside of the car, shame on them. They shouldn't have done that. You know, you always, as a cyclist, you always stay behind the car that is possibly making a right-hand turn in that lane, and you're trying to stay in the center of that lane. But if it's the other way around and the cyclists were ahead of the car and got overtaken by a faster-moving car, not good. Not good at all. The responsibility is that the vehicle in the front... the vehicle in the back is to pay attention to the vehicle in the front, and you know, if you had a situation where you were in a motorized vehicle and you hit that cyclist and that cyclist got hurt or damaged their bike or whatever, the driver of the motorized vehicle is totally responsible there. So I just thought I would just bring up the basic scenarios there, and explain to people what the right-of-way is, because when you look it up, geez, there's a lot of conversation about the cars getting mad about the cyclists being there, and yet they just don't quite understand how it all works. But we're Bicycle Talk, and that's what we talk about. We talk about all sorts of things here. But first of all, second of all, let's get into the show here. And now, Billy Dujack, this is my good friend Billy Dujack, who I met many, many years ago when he was working at Newington Bicycle Shop, I believe. That's probably where we first met,
That was it.
And Billy is a longtime cyclist who fell in love with his bicycle a number of years ago, as we have all done. And Billy just, he, like, follows me around like a shadow, you know? It's like, I can't get anything done, but Billy has to try to outdo me. So I'm talking about our hearts.
Are you on any prescription medication right now?
Yes. Well, but me too. Anyway, this is the this is going to be the official Billy and Ron Heart to Heart show. And the reason it's the Heart to Heart show, where did I put it? Here it is. Because we have matching hearts. Yeah, we do. We got the big hearts here. So if you're listening to this on audio, we're holding up two big pillows that they give you when you have open heart surgery. And so there they are. There we are. We've got our little heart pillows. Isn't that cute?
Brandy? Specifically at the...
And this was at the Pat and Jim Calhoun Cardiology Center at the University of Connecticut Health Center. Yep, that's where we both got our...
Our work done.
Yeah. All my signatures on the back are starting to fade.
Oh, you got to get them out of the sun.
Keep cycling. The Tour de France is coming. Yeah, I have all these funny things on here. It's really, the cardiac unit at the UConn Health Center is they're over the top great. Yeah. Love them. They were extra special. Oh. They really took care of us. And you know, that's what they do. So I had my heart surgery, my open heart surgery done back in May of 2 years ago.
May of 21.
And of course, Billy, you were working on some issues with your heart.
Yeah,
you've had.
Well,
why don't you give us your history?
My history.
Yeah.
Kind of boring, actually.
Oh, it's not boring.
I started off in life as a child. By the way, just to let you know why you get these pillows, after open heart surgery, you do not want to cough.
No.
Because they have basically cracked your chest open.
That's
right. So they give you this to press against you when you feel a cough coming on, and coughing eventually will come on. Nonetheless, I started road cycling. Ron seems to think it was a long time ago. It was 2010. When I got my first road bike.
Jeez.
And I did
what
it
took
to
you so long?
I don't know, you know. I was slow. But I decided after I quit smoking, I'd been saving my money from cigarettes for several years and had enough money to buy a road bike. So I bought one and decided I was going to do my first 100-mile ride with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society out in Lake Tahoe. It's a fun ride to do for your first 100. So did it the first year, had a wonderful time. Signed up for the second year. First or maybe the third training ride, I found out I was going up a hill. Wasn't a steep, steep hill, but maybe 8%. And I couldn't make it up the hill.
Aww.
I couldn't breathe. My legs just went dead. I looked down at my heart rate monitor on my wrist, right there. It said 220.
Ooh, that's high.
That's not good.
It's great if you're 3 years old. But
that's not a bad thing. So I went to, got an appointment with a cardiologist. She took an EKG. It looked fine. This looked fine. That looked fine. Went in for a stress test. Stress test came, and right in the middle of it, I went into atrial fibrillation, which we didn't know was AFib at the time. So we went to an electrophysiologist. He did a study and says, yep, you got AFib. So that was in 2011. So much for Tahoe that year. It wasn't happening. They treated me with medication. That lasted several months. And then they brought me in for a cardiac ablation. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, that's when you go through the groin with these probes, and they burn some tissue in the heart to stop the stray electrical signals. See, what happens is your upper chamber is beating at an irregular rate, or your atria is not, and it's not getting the blood through, and it tends to pool. So they get a little concerned about blood clots at that point in time. So They treated me. They brought me in for the ablation, and that lasted for about 7 or 8 years. So I was
really
back
good.
To cycling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that changed. Then I went through that, and I went through a bunch of cardio versions. That's where they strap you down to a table and hit you with about 200 joules of electricity and kind of shock your heart back into sinus rhythm. And it got to the point I got so familiar with the electrophysiology department over at UConn. I have first name status there. So they had Madonna, they had Cher, they had Adele, there was Billy, you know, I mean, and that was it. And it got to the point where I would come in and I said, do I get a punch card where if I get 10 of these, I get one for free? So
you would think, but
you would think. So they put me on.
There's nothing for free when it comes to this type of work.
So I went through another two ablations, and they finally stabilized me on an antiarrhythmic and a calcium channel blocker. And I was taking a drug called flecainide and a calcium channel blocker called diltiazem. All is said and done, that stifles your heart rate at about 130, 135, but I could still ride. He says, okay, you've been on the flecainide for a while. Now we are going to do a stress test to make sure your EKG hasn't changed, because that could be one of the side effects of the flecainide.
Hmm.
So they did the EKG, and everything looked fine, except my cardiologist goes, yeah, electrically, you look fine. Your EKG looks fine. But, and I hate the word but.
Yeah, that's never a good
I saw a little blip I'm not comfortable with, so I want to get you a CT angiogram. That's essentially where they inject dye into your system and take a CAT scan of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to delay that a month because during the pandemic, of all things, there was a shortage of dye.
Wow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
So
wow.
Finally it got done. He took a look. He said, Billy, we're detecting some blockage. We want to send you in for a full-blown angiogram where they strap you down. They go through your wrist now, not your groin,
yeah,
which because they can control the bleeding better. So I was in there, and I knew half the nurses in there, so they're all going, yeah, you okay, Billy? Yeah. Would you like something to... I said, yeah, give me some of that, whatever. Just kind of make me... Not
happier.
Care. Nah, happier or whatever. I didn't care. So I got done with it, and he sat me down, and he's talking to me, and I'm still coming out of this, and I think they use fentanyl. I'm not sure. But I couldn't really understand what he was saying, so my cardiologist says, I'll call you. So they had a consultation with about four cardiologists and said, well, if you want to be a spud the rest of your life and just sit on the couch and do nothing, I'd probably say let this go. Your arteries are too long for stents. So your alternative is, the mutual consensus was, open heart surgery.
Mm.
Now, I have been dealing with this guy for a while.
Yeah.
I says, hey, Ron, guess what? I'm having open heart surgery. We have the same surgeon
yep.
in the same hospital.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just thought I wanted one of these.
Yeah, he just wanted
I mean, he just wanted one of these, so...
The good news is they let you go home. They wouldn't let me leave the building
after
they checked me.
Well, that's the bottom line. You see, both Ron and I, you know, we have to say this. Everybody asks me now, he says, oh, you have a heart attack. I said, no, I didn't.
No.
And both of our doctors said one thing. Your cycling probably saved your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy with that. Now, the doctor, I had the consultation. He says, we're going to open you up. We're going to replace two arteries. And I said, okay. He said, we're not going to replace them. We're going to bypass them. That's why they call
right.
it cardiac bypass. The right. arteries, the old ones are still in there.
Right.
He says, now while Doc, while you got the hood open, is there anything else you can do there? He says, yeah, as a matter of fact, we can do something called a maze procedure, which will be like a super ablation, where hopefully they essentially burn a bunch of tissue and create a maze so that the stray electrical signals from the upper chamber get eliminated.
And that would be to
get rid of the AFib.
To take care of the AFib, right.
Yeah, and secondly, we're going to go in and where the blood tends to pool is near the left atrial appendage.
Right.
We're going to snip that.
Yep.
So the blood will not pool there and will not cause clots
yep.
in the event you're an AFib. So that could, in the future, eliminate the need for blood thinners, which I was on. When you have AFib, you're on blood thinners. That's just the way it is. So they did that. Now, I'd like to tell you everything went well the first time. I would like to tell you that.
I know you'd like to.
I would love to tell you that. It's usually a pretty routine procedure, and, you know, it appeared to be, except for one problem. I'm what's known in the medical field now, I found out, as a bleeder. So they had trouble controlling the bleeding before they closed me. They finally got it under control. They closed me up. Several hours later, they got a notice, we got to go back in. They kind of knew that, and I'm fortunate enough to know one of the nurses who was there, and she had picked out my anesthesiologist, who was one of the best who was the best cardiothoracic anesthesiologist in the practice that UConn uses. Well, this guy was there for the first part, and he heard that I was a friend of Holly's. Holly was my friend, the nurse anesthetist. She says, I heard Holly's friend was going back in, or he might have to go back in. So he hung around, and he went in and did the second anesthesia.
Oh, that's nice.
That's having friends in high places.
Yeah, no kidding.
So the long and the short of it is I was intubated 3 times. I was in a medically induced coma for a while. I was in the hospital for 15 days, 8 days in the ICU. 4 pints of blood later, a lot of cardiac rehab, learning how to walk and use my hands again. I'm here.
Yeah.
Not half bad.
You are.
Not half bad.
You're not only here.
Hey, I'm still.
You're riding your bicycle again.
No. Am I riding it as good as I was? No. Will I ever? I don't know.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It matters that you're out there and you're active again and you're continuing to do good things for your body by riding your bicycle. And that's the most important part. There's something else, too, I have to bring up, and I forgot to bring it up earlier, and I meant to mention this. And tomorrow's kind of a big day.
It is.
Happy birthday, Billy.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't celebrated my birthday since I turned 65.
Yeah,
I'm turning 68 tomorrow. But he's a lot older than me.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
to let you know, Ron is older than dirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I am older than dirt, but I'm still on the right side of it.
4 months.
Yeah, it's only 4 months, right? Yeah, we're both 55ers.
But just to kind of elaborate on what happened, you know, having somebody like this man sitting next to me, okay. We have gotten over the last year or so to be very close friends. And when you go through a life-changing experience like this, there tends to be a bond that's formed and a support group that's formed. And I'm feeling a certain way. I could give him a call and he would answer the phone. Mm. And I said, this is what I'm feeling. He says, oh, yeah, that's perfectly normal.
You know, I'll be real clear about this, too. I mean, I went in to see you the first day I went in to see you, and after I walked out, I went, oh, boy, that doesn't look good. You are not in a good way. You were not in a good way at all. You weren't like I was when I got out, I don't think.
No,
but,
I mean...
You know, I was kind of like, you know, I'm begging them, when can I ride my bike? When can I ride my bike? When can I ride my bike? And of course, then I had the bowel obstruction problem. And
yeah.
Because anesthesia and I apparently are not good friends as far as that goes. And so I almost had to have another surgery because of that. But I was bound and determined not to have that happen. So I did my walking routine. They all kind of laugh at me at UConn, I think, because they're not used to someone like me. But anyway,
well, you are kind of funny. You are kind of funny looking.
Oh, I'm totally funny looking.
Yeah, right.
I totally
just,
got that. Then I come from a long line of funny looking people.
I know.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
I know that.
That's the way it works.
That's okay.
You know, you get it. You ride it and ride that wave. So. Anyway, Billy just, you know, it took him a long time. And I think I went on one of your first walks with you, too. You weren't walking real good. I remember going out and they make you walk right away if they can. If you can, actually, is what it really is. Because the last thing you want to do is just sit around because it's just things are only going to, your recovery is only going to get slower.
Oh boy.
And you just don't want to go there. You just don't want to. So but I do remember doing one of the walks with you and you didn't go very far. Then we turned you around and got you back in your room.
But you know,
but at least you were up and moving. And
I kept in mind what you said to me the first time you did your walk to your neighbor's mailbox when you got there, and you said, okay, how am I going to get back?
Right.
And right. and that's how
that
I felt.
That was a scary day.
That's how I felt in my first walk. And yeah. I did walks in the hospital. And physical therapy would come up and they were giving me walks. And I'm watching and I'm going around with a walker. It was very nice of him to put the Johnny gown around my back, too, because otherwise my buttocks would have been hanging out.
Fran has a story on that,
yeah, well, too. You know, so, I mean, I didn't really care. I think a lot of that was the pain medication they were giving me, but they cared enough. They gave me that. And I'm walking with a walker.
Well, you can't see back there, so
no,
it doesn't
I
really
can't.
Matter.
It doesn't matter. And believe me, after a while, you know, the total helplessness you feel when you were like the way I was makes you realize you've got to rely on others. And I did. Mm. And I relied a lot on the nurses. And to the nurses and doctors at UConn, second floor, my anniversary of my surgery was the 16th of this month. And I went back there and brought them a box, 2 pounds of Mazzucato cookies from the Hartford Bakery. And they just looked at me and says, "We've never had anybody come back here and thank us." Well,
there you know, you go.
But I'm walking with my walker, and they are walking behind me with the chair that's in my room, which is on rollers, getting ready for me to sit down. And from that point, you know, I was thinking about it. I'm saying, wow. Whenever I sit and I think about right now how I'm not riding the way I like to, like I did the steeplechase yesterday, and this guy had designed a beautiful route, except for one 10% hill. That was, I didn't think it was very funny.
It's Wyndham Center. Yep.
But halfway up, there was a road I could turn into.
Patriots Drive.
Get my heart rate down, clip in, go back up, and finish the climb. So you improvise, you adapt, you overcome. And that's all you can do.
Right.
And, you know.
And did you get to ride with anybody yesterday, too?
Hooked up with some guy. He was kind of crazy. He's from the area.
Probably one of my friends.
Oh, I don't think he was.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he didn't know you.
Yeah, he didn't know me?
See, I met somebody.
And he rides a bike?
I did.
How can that possibly be?
I met somebody in this area who didn't know. No, you know what was interesting? Oh, is he, he's affiliated with Dr. Storch. So he knew you.
Oh,
there you go.
So yeah. Says, they've got kind of a good relationship.
But, we got that connection going.
Yeah.
On. So if I don't know them, then Fran knows them.
And that was fine.
Or vice versa. Yeah.
See, I travel. The only reason I travel east of the river is to see these guys.
Yeah.
There's no reason for us. I live over on the other side.
Oh, come on. The
river.
Roads are great out here.
Roads are great. the roads are wonderful.
They are. A little hilly, but great.
They're hilly. But I got the good news from my wife.
She said,
"Lovely bride Cindy." She said, "Maybe you need to get an electric assist road bike."
Yes, go for it. Go for it.
Well, I want to get that on tape, so that's kind of why I said that. So, Cindy,
yeah, okay, it's been recorded.
If you're
Cindy,
listening, Cindy,
that's
you
it.
Did say that.
That's it. You have committed.
You have committed. She said, "You know, I don't spend money on anything. I don't spend money on clothes. I don't spend money on virtually anything except cycling."
Yeah.
And for those of you who think cycling is a cheap sport, really isn't.
No,
really isn't.
It's not.
But
it's not.
But it beats the hell out of the alternatives, which is 6 feet under right now.
Yeah.
And I'm still here.
Well, you know, when we cycle as much as we do, or do any kind of physical fitness, cardiovascular fitness, we build all of these little tiny arteries all around our hearts, which collateral arterial build is what it's called. And it, Dr. Hammond, who worked on both of us, when he talked to me about it afterwards, he said, you had a safety net of arterial collateral build around your heart. He said, you literally saved your own life. And anybody else in the condition that I was in would have either had a massive heart attack, which would have probably killed them, or they would have been in the morgue. They referred to me when I was at the UConn Health Center as the walking dead guy, which was really entertaining because it's a teaching hospital. And so you have you have streams of students coming in with their little white coats on, and they got their notepads and all, and they've got your chart in front of them, so they get to ask you all sorts of questions. And you know, I'm an open book. I'll tell them anything they wanted to hear, and they're like, I had this one person just look at me and go, "Why are you alive?" And then the person right next to him, she just looked at me and she said, "How much do you ride your bike?" And I said, "Not that much." And she said, "How much is not that much? How many miles?" I said, "I don't do miles." I said, "I do hours." And I said, "So at that time, my hours," and then pretty much is now, it's like 10 to 12 hours a week, but 8 to 10 hours a week is probably more normal than anything else. But yeah, I'm on a bike that much a week, and I'm very consistent about it now because I am teaching classes every single morning. So that makes a big difference right there. But I would say the consistency more than the intensity is more important than anything else as far as that goes. But I'm not going back for any more pillows, though, okay?
I don't want to either. Having your chest open twice was enough.
Yeah, you know? Once was enough.
And third time would not be a charm.
It's a really traumatic experience, and you feel like once you've had all that work done, you don't feel connected to your body for a long time. Well, it's this really weird sensation. I can't really explain it other than I just felt like things weren't connected the way they should be. And Fran probably has an explanation for that. But it's weird. It's like they unplugged me and plugged me back in. And when they plugged me back in, I needed a reset. And it wasn't really happening. So it's weird. It takes time. Of course, the constant question was, when can I get back on my bike? Because I'm that nutcase that has to get back on his bike. And they said, you know, you'll probably be back on your bike in 6 weeks. 5 weeks, and I don't know, maybe 5.5 weeks later, Fran says, "You want to try going for a bike ride?" And so we went out to the rail trail right out here.
Because you'd been walking so much.
I've been walking. That was the other thing.
And they told you didn't need to do cardiac rehab.
Right. The therapist, the nurse that came to the house, because you get these visiting nurses, and she comes to the house and she said, "Well, you know, I think it's about time to get you into cardiac rehab." And I said, "Okay, yeah, what's involved with that?" She said, "Well, they're going to put you on a treadmill and going to walk you, and you're going to do some lightweight and that sort of thing." And I said, "Well, I'm walking now. How much walking are we talking about?" She looked at me and said, "Well, how much are you walking?" I said, "Well, 2 to 5 miles a day." And she said, "A day?" And I said, "Yeah, well, 2 miles one day, 5 miles the next day. But, you know, 2 to 5 miles a day." She just shook her head and said, "We're checking that off the list. You don't have to do that." So, yeah, I was walking a lot. But I'd had other surgeries in the past, and I as long as I could walk, I just kept walking because it helps you recover quicker if you can do it. You know, it's just, like I said, that first walk down to the neighbor's mailbox was scary. That was a real scary day. I should have done that when Fran was home, but I didn't.
Well, I had Cindy at home with me, and I'll tell you, I wish I could have said I was walking 2 to 5 miles a day, but
No, wasn't happening.
And
we had different experiences.
Totally different.
We had different things done. It was, you know, you had a valve.
Yeah, I didn't have a valve.
My valves were all working, but yeah, you had a valve, so that adds a new complication into it. It's every heart surgery is a little
different.
So you can't just rely on what Billy and I are telling you. You can only rely on, you know, what happens to you and how you know your body and how hopefully the medical professionals know your body and can help you through the whole thing. The best part for me is it took about, and Kevin, is Kevin watching today? He said he was going to be watching. If Kevin's watching, he said, you know, in 6 months, you're going to be good as new. Yeah. I remember that, Kevin. And because Kevin, also one of our regular listeners, and also the Ride of Silence guy, the guy who puts on the Ride of Silence every year, he is a... he is also someone who went through a similar experience. He's a member of what we call the Zipper Club, which is the when you get that lovely little scar that runs down the middle of your chest because they had to crack you open, put you back together again. So you become a member of the Zipper Club. And so he also is there. And Kevin was a big time, I think, triathlete, I believe, if I'm correct on that. You can correct me if you want, Kev. But anyway, so again, super active, very fit, and then something wasn't quite right, and the next thing he knew, they were cracking him open and going after the things that weren't right. The good news is they can do that now. The bad news is they probably couldn't have done that to my dad when my dad had his heart attack, and my dad was already dead by the time somebody found him, so that was that, and it was over. My uncle on my mom's side of the family, he also suffered a severe heart attack, and by the time the ambulance got there, it was too late. But that was years and years ago. Whereas now, you know, more and more people know CPR. By the way, if you don't know CPR and you're hanging out with a bunch of athletes and people like that, you might want to take a course. And
you certified?
I'm certified. Yeah, I'm certified in many ways.
I mean, I didn't say certifiable. I said certified in CPR.
Yes, I am.
No, you're certified.
I actually have to be. In order to teach fitness classes, I have to get recertified now. I think it's every 2 years now that we get recertified.
Yeah.
And Fran, of course, she's the same way because she's a doctor, and all of her office staff also has certification for CPR. Because you just don't know. You know, someone could have an incident in front of you, and then, you know, if you're standing there watching them die, that's not a good idea. So you want to be able to help them in some way. So, Yeah, totally. CPR is a good thing to know. If you don't know it, it's not that difficult. It's there's a base procedure that's involved. It doesn't require a lot of physical energy. It just requires going through a procedure which will get medical attention to you as soon as possible. We didn't have to do that. Why didn't we have to do that?
Because
we ride bicycles.
And we didn't have heart attacks.
Right. And that's why, you know, Billy is on the show today, because this is bicycle talk. This is what we do. We talk about things like this. So it's, you know, I can't tell you enough about why riding your bicycle is the greatest thing you would ever do. Mm-hmm. And if it's not a bicycle, if it's, you know, if you're a runner or if you're a swimmer or where do I draw the line here? The line gets a little shaky at times. Bowler? Nah, not so much. Golfer? Only if you don't use the cart. Yeah, I said it. Don't use the little electric cart unless you're too old to move and or your joints don't work anymore or whatever it is. But you know what? Walk 18 holes.
5 miles. It's 5 miles.
Is that what it is? Is that what it is? 5 miles? See, that's not really that far.
If you let me play golf, it'd be about 12.
I was going to say, I'd have a few extra strokes, right?
I played golf twice and not very well at the time, so I
don't do golf. I have enough frustration in my life. I don't need to pay for it.
No, I can't.
So, sorry for all you golfers out there, because I know there are people out there that love their golf game. But, you know, to me, it's just, it's a game, not a sport. I said it. Anyway,
it is a sport.
It is a sport. Okay.
One of the hardest things in the world to do is to hit that little white ball straight.
Yeah, I don't do ball
You don't
sports.
Have to like it. You know, there are people who watch the Tour de France and go, this is boring as hell. That's because they don't know enough about it.
Right, exactly. And then we watch the Tour de France and we have so much adrenaline running through our bodies that we can't sit still.
He calls me up in the middle of the stage. He says, are you watching this? Yeah, of course I'm watching this. So we're watching the stage on the phone and my wife goes, you guys are crazy.
No, we're not crazy. And if we're not doing it that way, then we're texting back and forth. You know, I mean,
funny stuff.
It's a tour. You know, it's a good thing. It's very exciting. It's very, very exciting. I've been a fan for a long time. I raced my bike a long time ago, and I will probably not do that again. Although, gosh, every time I get on my bike these days, I feel like,
stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
I keep thinking about
stop
it.
Stop it.
Yeah, I shouldn't probably do this because if one of my racer buddies is watching this video today or listening to this podcast, he's going to go, "Hey, Ron, I heard you say, come on back out and play."
Don't do it.
I'm happy doing what I do.
Yes.
It's, you know, I can encourage people to ride their bikes. I can teach them everything I know about riding bikes. You met my friend Karen, got her into a bike.
I hated Karen. I couldn't keep up with her.
Karen is she's a very small Italian woman that doesn't have a lot to carry up the hills, so therefore the hills are not really a big deal to her, and she's pretty strong for someone who has just started out on a bike. She's riding really well, so shout out to Karen. And so you know, everybody has a different approach to it, but mostly I like to make sure that people just get out and ride the bike, whatever you have to do. Yesterday I rode the e-bike, which is an antique e-bike that I own, and I put a trailer on the back of it, rode it into Willimantic, and I picked up all the signs from the steeplechase. And what a neat way to do that.
Sure,
it was really fun. And so I run into this guy. It's kind of a funny story. I run into this guy on the removal of the signs, and he looked at me and he spoke real broken, real heavy accent English. And he was this Hispanic guy, and he goes, and he asked me what I was doing, and I said, "Oh, I'm pulling up all the signs." He goes, "I was following those." And I said, "I'm sorry, I got to pick the signs up. It was from the event we had yesterday." "Well, when are you going to do another one?" he said. I said, "Next year." He goes, "Oh, no, that's too long."
Oh, that's
he
priceless.
Goes, "What about next week?" And I said, "Well, you know, you're going to have to kind of figure it out on your own, that's all. You know, go out, get lost, make a right turn where you should have made a left, do whatever you have to do, but
you should have given
out.
Him the Steeplechase website, which has the routes on
and,
it.
And I did do that,
okay,
but he looked
good.
At me a little confused when I gave him that.
Right.
But, you know, I did tell him about that, and I said, gosh, if I had had a cue sheet with me, I would have just handed it to him, and then he could do that loop every day. It's 5.9 miles, and so, but I, you know, when I put those signs out, I used my car to put those out, and I'm not going to do that next year. I'm going to use my bike.
Exactly.
It's quicker on the bike. It's way quicker on the bike. And I've got an old Burley trailer, which I made into more of a cargo flatbed type trailer.
Yeah.
And then I've got another old Burley trailer. And then I've got another trailer. I have three trailers. What can I say? If I go to our local transfer station and there's a trailer sitting by the...
I know.
I can't leave them alone. I mean, somebody's going to want a trailer at some point
in time. Well, the worst case
people have kids. They need trailers. People have responsibilities. They want to go shopping and they need a trailer. I got a trailer for you.
Well, the worst problem was when you worked at the transfer station and people were throwing these trailers out and you brought them home.
I bring them home. That's it. I would bring them home. And we weren't really supposed to do that, but I did it.
You were a picker.
I'm a picker. You know, I can't see anything really good going to waste. It really is, it's a shame. Almost criminal. But anyway, it's not. So, if you don't have one of those rescued bicycle trailers and you're out there and you're a Bicycle Talk fan, think about it. It's kind of cool. You know, you could do a lot with them. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then when I rode home, I stopped at the grocery store and I picked up a few things and then continued to ride home after that. It's great. It's great. And my antique e-bike made it all the way 16 whole miles by the time I was done. So
not bad.
I think it's got about a 20 or 25 mile range on it with the new battery that I put in it. But, you know, but it is very much an antique and it is very much a slow moving e-bike. So, but it's fine. It's fine. It works. And that's the best part, that it works. So, you know, if you can just use your bike for transportation, you'll get enough benefit from that to do good things for your body.
Yeah.
For sure. And you don't have to be like crazy like Billy and I are and just get out there and want to ride all the time. It's okay.
Well, I'm not as crazy as he is, but that's okay.
Well, you know.
I was never a racer, you know, but I just enjoy it. And there's just something there's just something about being out on the road, and it brings you back to when you were 7 years old, I think.
It does. On your bicycle. It does give you an experience of youth. It truly does. And it makes you really feel young again when you get out on your bike. I mean, it's a nice thing.
I was doing the e-race ride in Avon last month, and I'm coming up to winding down. It's about 3 miles from the end, and I'm going along at my own pace because I can't go very fast anymore. And this woman passes me and goes, "How you doing?" I says, "I am doing great. You having a good day? You having fun yet?" She goes, "I'll have fun when I cross the finish line."
Oh,
so I just screamed at her, and you would have been proud of me. I just screamed at her, "Then you're doing it wrong."
Exactly. Exactly. And if it's not fun, why are you doing it?
And she was going for her probably a personal best and a so many miles per hour. I got to average this. And you know, and if that's what you like, bless you.
Good. Yeah, there are people that have to win. And
but you're forgetting about the fun and why you're out there doing it. And I'm doing it for the fun. And that's one thing I've learned from this man, is just get out and ride your bike. Slow, fast, it don't matter. Just get out and ride your bike. And who cares?
Yeah. One of the earlier steeplechases I did with Fran, when we first started seeing each other and riding together and all, we were riding with our local cycling club, and it was a pretty good sized group that had kind of rolled out together, and there were these two women on the side of the road, and they had a flat tire. And so I think I yelled out to the group, "Hey, there's a flat tire here, I'm gonna stop," and they just kept going. And because, you know, average speed. And I stopped and I helped them fix a flat tire. Remember that, Fran? Remember that?
A long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It was probably, close to, 15 years ago or more.
Wow.
And I just stopped and helped them with their flat tire. And they were like so thankful that I did that. We were very close to a rest stop. We got to the rest stop and the people that we were riding with were just finishing up and just rode off without us. And that to me just doesn't. It just doesn't feel right. I don't know. It's like if you're a member of a bicycle club and there are, let's say, a group of you together. I won't say numbers, but a group of you together. And someone is distressed on the side of the road. You should all stop.
Yes.
It's called good public relations. You know, it's a good way to say, "Hey, we are this club and we are here and we're going to help you," and that's a positive thing. It's a totally positive thing.
Definitely. I mean, but anyway. Cyclists sometimes by automobile people and a lot of people get a bad rep. And let's face it, not all cyclists are pure out there.
No.
They'll ride 2, 3, 4 abreast, they'll blow through intersections without looking. So yep. Creating a positive image is very important. I used to ride with Team in Training down in the New Jersey chapter, and we were riding along, and there was this poor lady there along the side of the road with a flat tire.
Yep.
And I said, "Stopping," and I was leading the group at the time, and we all stopped. I says, "Come on, we're going to help you get this." And everybody else was like, "Well, we got to get going, got to get going." I says, "Go ahead, go.
Yeah,
really. I'm going to help this lady change her flat tire."
Right.
They stayed. They grumbled a little, but I said, "You were wearing our team jerseys.
Right.
Let her know who we are."
And that's the thing.
This is the Leukemia Lymphoma Society's Team in Training. This is an organization that cares about cyclists, too.
Right.
And who knows?
You know what?
How far this will take us. I don't know. It's just the right thing to do.
You just never know. And you never know how you're going to influence someone and how you're going to change their perspective on the whole cycling thing or whatever. What do the Yukon women and the Yukon men do when you see them in the grocery store, Fran?
oh, they stop and they talk to you and they ask you if you want to take a picture and they'll take pictures with you and they're really nice.
Super friendly, super nice. They are ambassadors of their sport.
Exactly.
And that's the whole point. And I make this on Bicycle Talk all the time. I make the point of being an ambassador of your sport. So it's like really, really helpful to do that. There were a few things that I popped up before this and I was looking to talk about because, you know, this whole open heart surgery thing is a pretty scary thing. And one of them was, you know, I put a question into Professor Google. And Professor Google, I said, Professor, can you ride a bike after open heart surgery? And so here's the general explanation and how it all works. At first, you'll need to limit your exercise activity to walking, right? The big thing with the walking, and I remember them talking to me about this, is, you know, you can probably ride your bike, but we just really don't want you to fall because we've just cracked your chest open. And the last thing we want you to do is fall and then break that all open again and, you know, maybe even possibly, you know, cause damage to the stitches, you know, because you've been sewn back together and all that other fun stuff. Mm. Not to mention, I'm sure when they bypass your arteries, they have to use some sort of sutures to do that. Right, Fran? In the inside?
Right, yeah.
Yep. Right, so you don't want to break any of those open either. Right. And that's why they put you on a drug that basically slows your heart way down and makes it, puts a governor on you, basically, is what it does.
Beta blocker.
So, beta blocker, exactly. So it says here, talk to your doctor or cardiac rehab center about what types of exercise are safe for you. You may find low impact exercises like swimming, cycling, and yoga to be good for you too. So there you go. Low impact. I probably don't want you running right away.
No.
Sure. That's probably not a good idea. And then this quote, if you were relatively fit and active before surgery, it will be easier for you to build back up to these levels. Cycling on an indoor bike is possible within a few weeks of surgery, and running is possible within 2 months. By the way, both those comments were off of a British site, not an American site. Then we go to how long does it take to fully recover from a quadruple bypass surgery? For the first 3 to 6 weeks, you'll probably feel tired a lot of the time. No kidding. How much did I sleep, Fran? Wow. I took power naps. I mean, and we're talking like power as far as 3 hours, 4 hours goes. It was crazy. This is because your body is using a lot of energy to heal itself. Yeah. By 6 weeks, you should be able to do most of your normal activities. And by 3 months, you're likely to be fully recovered. Well, I'm not going to say 3 months.
My cardiologist said 1 year, especially given everything that has happened. He says, surgeons tend to tell you one thing, but the surgeon's only going to see you 2 times.
Right.
Your cardiologist sees you afterwards. So your cardiologist is the one. And my cardiologist, and I'll say his name right now, I'll give a shout out to Chris Pickett over at UConn.
Hey, Chris.
And he's also a cyclist.
Very important.
But he says, yeah, the surgeon will tell you one thing, and it's my job to now tell you the truth.
Right.
So, you know, whatever it takes.
I like Chris.
Chris is a wonderful guy.
Chris was on call on the weekend, at one of the weekends I was in the hospital, and he came in and he checked me and did his thing, and then he said, You got time. He goes, let's talk about bikes. That's great. It's great. Always fun.
And then Chris said to me afterwards, after I had we got together, he says, is there anybody you don't know? I said, very few. But
you got to use the thing I told my son when he asked me that years ago.
What's that?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not dead yet.
Not yet.
That's what I say, people. By the way, can I just say a couple of things? If you know anybody who's had open heart surgery, here are the things we don't like to be asked.
I just want to,
how's your ticker?
Yeah.
We really don't like to hear that. What we do like to hear is, how are you?
Yeah.
How are you? How am I? I mean, you know, sometimes I'll say I'm not dead yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I can say that. And the other thing is people will say now, good to see you. And I actually can say today, it's good to be seen.
Yeah, I know. I can say that with the full truth and reality.
I really mean it. And speaking about sleeping, let me tell you a story about Brother Ron here. Uh-oh. We were talking on the phone.
Make it short.
I was lying on the couch. I had my phone sitting next to me on speakerphone. The next thing I hear, my phone's ringing, and it's Ron. I says, "What did I butt dial you?" He says, "No, you fell asleep on me." And he thought that was hysterical until Fran told him, "You did the same thing to me while we were talking." And Ron just simply said, and I'll keep it short, he says, "I guess it's just something we do."
Yeah. The recovery route is not real easy. So it takes a lot out of you. So eventually you'll be able to do most of everything you were doing, and you can get back to you really get back to a positive lifestyle. You make a few changes in maybe your diet, because that's always a good it's always a good time to evaluate what you're eating and what you can do things better. And just you know, it's way back there now for me. I'm just looking forward. That's all I really want to do. And I figure I got a new lease on life, and I'm going to pass on as much as I of what I know as I can. And I'm going to have to save the Vuelta for next week, but that's okay. We can do that. So I got to wrap things up here, because we are just basically running out of time, and you have wasted yet another perfectly good hour on Bicycle Talk. And you got to waste it with my good friend Billy, which is great. Yeah. All right. So events coming up: ongoing the bicycle game on the early history of bicycles in Hartford. Yep. Still going on. 1 Elizabeth Street, Hartford, Connecticut, at the Connecticut Historical Society. Check it out before it goes away. It's not going to last much longer. The 78th edition of the Vuelta a España in Barcelona on August 26th. Yay, yay, yay. Good stuff. We'll talk all about that next week. MADE, www.made.bike, an industry and consumer bike event highlighting the craft of handmade bicycles, August 24th to the 27th at the iconic Rose Quarter in Portland, Oregon. Saturday, September 30th, Charter Oak Park, Manchester, Connecticut, Rotary in Motion. It's a free event. You can find out more about it at www.manchesterrotary.org, or also go to Bike Walk Bolton, and my friend Barbara, who will probably be a guest on the show in the next few weeks. I have to talk to her about that. We'll learn more about that. So finishing points here. Do we have time here? Yeah, we got it. Don't forget about the bicycle game. Yep. Watch out for that bike. Don't make a right-hand turn into a cyclist. School is back and in session really soon, and I hope that our conversations today have enlightened you too, as there is life after open-heart surgery. Remember, cyclocross is coming soon. I'll say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active, our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride your bike, and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day, park the car or truck, ride your bike instead. You just might surprise yourself. Views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk, my co-host Fran Storch, and my special guest, Billy Dujack. Thank you all for listening. If you've been listening to this on Facebook Live, you can leave comments below. And otherwise, you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life.
You betcha.
This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening.